Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's worship service here at Shortgate Baptist Church. Today is the 28th of June 2020, and we continue to do our services remotely due to the social distancing protocols in place across the country around the managing of the current coronavirus pandemic. As you'll be aware, the government updating the rules around the coronavirus pandemic on what is or is not permissible and what may or may not be done on an ongoing basis. And in the context of us as a church, we are keeping an eye, particularly on the relevant guidance around church meetings, gatherings, worship services, and so on. And our national body, the Baptist Union, also keeps track of all the developments and liaises with our regional associations, all the 13 of the regional associations, of which we are in the Eastern Baptist Association, EBA, who in turn update the guidance and advice and give it to local churches. We are very grateful to our national union, the Baptist Union, as well as the regional association, the EBA, for being proactive and updating the advice and guidance to local churches as the situation evolves. Their guidance is largely publicly available online on the relevant websites as well, and also for them being available to be contacted for support when necessary. Where the government gives out broader frameworks, our associations then break these down and drill them down to guidance that is applicable on the ground to give effect to those government rules and guidelines, which is quite helpful. It sounds like in some cases, particularly around the gradual easing and lifting of these restrictions, the local churches will have some discretion on striking that balance at local level, the balance of safety on one hand and the gradual easing of the restrictions on the other hand. We are evidently getting into that period where things are changing and there is some movement in terms of what we may or may not be allowed to do or to carry out as a church and around gatherings and so on. And so as a local church, we are looking to follow all the relevant guidance and to conduct ourselves responsibly as we serve and worship God and as we carry out our ministry and our mission as a local church. And any changes in the process will be sufficiently communicated to everyone. As always, let's continue to feel free to share any ideas and thoughts around this, and let's continue to pray and trust God for His grace and wisdom as we go through the different changes. And let's continue to pray for one another, especially for those within our fellowship and within our community who may fall within the at-risk bracket. Amen. And so I thought to share this as we begin today's service, because there looks like some changes are on the horizon and we need to be preparing and getting ourselves ready for these changes. And so as we begin today's service, let's open our hearts and open our minds and begin with a word of prayer, and also to pray and commit this whole situation to God. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, as we come to you today, we come with our hearts and our minds open to you and to your Spirit. As we begin this service, Lord, help us to worship you in truth and in spirit. Minister to us and speak to us and cause us to hear your voice into our hearts. Bind us together as a church, Lord, and cause us to be a witness for your kingdom to our community. Our Lord and our God, in these uncertain times, facing many changes around the easing of the coronavirus restrictions, in the coming days and weeks and going forward. We remember your word in Psalm 127, which says that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen watch in vain. And so with all the changes and all the decisions to be made around these issues as a church, as your body, Lord, we ask for your wisdom and guidance so that whatever we do, we may not do it in vain. Continue to build this church and guard the city. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. We will go now to our first two songs through which we will sing together, praising and worshiping God. And Sue is leading us on the saxophone in this song, starting with "Come On and Celebrate His Gift of Love," then followed by "Morning Has Broken the First, Like the First Morning." As we sing out to the Lord, let's worship God together in these songs. Over to you, Sue.
Thank you so much, Sue, for leading us in those songs. Now, as we continue with our current theme of Psalms for Daily Living, where we are reflecting on different readings from the book of Psalms. Today we are reflecting on the 46th Psalm. As we have reflected on the various passages from the book of Psalms, one of the things that we have come apparent, as we said from the beginning, is the metaphorical language used in these passages, in these songs and in these prayers and poems. These metaphors are employed by the psalmist deliberately and purposefully in order to communicate the message with clarity and to portray and paint whatever picture that that passage wishes to paint and to portray. And Psalm 46 does not disappoint. While we read this psalm, it's worth keeping in mind that this psalm is believed to have been written not as a prayer of intercession and asking God to come through for his people, but rather as God's people singing these words as they looked back on what God had done, praising God and thanking him for his rescuing and delivering of his people from possible calamity and from being overrun, possibly being overrun by an invading enemy. And our reading will cover the whole of this psalm, Psalm 46, but we'll do this in two parts. And for the first part, Margaret is going to give us the reading. Over to you, Margaret.
From Psalm 46, beginning to read at verse 1 and to verse 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Amen. Thank you so much, Margaret, for giving us that reading. The psalmist opens this psalm with this bold assertion that God is our strength and an ever-present help in times of trouble. Again, as often in the case of in scripture and in the Psalms in particular, there is no indication that those who trust in God will be always exempt from the troubles and challenges of life. But rather, the assertion is that when going through those challenges, God is an ever-present help. And when the psalmist says God is our refuge and our strength, he clearly wants to communicate and assert two distinct ways in which God is this present help. God being our strength talks about God enabling us and giving us ability that we would have otherwise not had. For the psalmist, this evidently related to a war situation where the city was resisting an invasion. And so he says that when our city was invaded, God gave us strength to defend our city, and we were successful in doing so. Because, you see, when strength is given to a person, that person has to use that strength, that extra boost. It's like the psalmist is saying here that God is our extra boost. He's our extra turbocharge, but we have to act, we have to do something. And God gives us the strength as we go ahead and act. This reminds me, for those familiar with motor racing, in particular Formula One, when when they had something called the KERS, K-E-R-S, they called it the KERS. I'm not sure if they still have it now, but this was a system that would provide the driver with an extra boost and additional power as he accelerated. The driver would still need to accelerate. He still needed to do what he had to do. And the KERS system would enable what would have been a normal acceleration to have a touch of an additional energy, an additional power. This is the picture that I get when I reflect on God being our strength, to say that we still need to go ahead and do what we have to do, what we need to do. We need to put in the shift, as they say, and God will provide us with an extra boost, an extra help. God is our enabler while we are doing what we need to do. As they say, you do your best and God will do the rest. On the same breath, in that first verse, the psalmist says, God is our refuge. And the idea of refuge in the Bible is often centered around several cities that were designated as what was called the cities of refuge. These were detailed in several books in the Bible, like in Exodus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and Joshua. The whole idea of these cities of refuge were that whoever ran to one of these cities to take refuge, to hide in there, he would find safety. He would find protection. And so the psalmist here says that God has not only supercharged our efforts, as it were, and given us an extra boost in whatever endeavors we've engaged in, he has also gone further than that and provided us covering and refuge, even in those areas where we did not know what to do or where we could not do anything. Those things beyond our knowledge and our ability and our strength, God has come through for us. And if we remember that the psalmist is writing this as he looks back at what God has already done, it's as though he is saying, when we have put efforts in doing what we had to do, God has helped us. And when we have not even known what to do, when things have been beyond us, God has still come through for us. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, he says. And this is a strong expression of confidence in God. The psalmist then uses the analogies of mountain and of water, as in seas and rivers, in a very interesting way. In biblical imagery, and largely in our language today even, a symbol of an image of a mountain or is that of something strong, permanent, and immovable, something solid, something dependable, something that will not yield or succumb to any pressure, something that is resilient and will withstand any battering by any storms, something rock solid, as it were. And on the other hand, the sea is often a symbol of upheavals and instability. We use the expression such as troubled waters, and we sing songs about when sea billows roar, referencing the waves and the volatility of the sea, the troubled and choppy waters of the sea. Quite an opposite picture from that calm, stable, solid structure that the picture of a mountain presents. Now, in verses 2 and 3, the psalmist describes a serious upheaval and chaos, as it were, where those two analogies of a mountain and of the sea are turned upside down in a way, where the often trusted, dependable, and reliable structure of a mountain is swallowed up and it falls into the unstable, chaotic, and tumultuous sea, where the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake at the surging of these waters. This seems to be a description of possibly situations when those structures, those services and systems that we have trusted in and dependent on so reliably all along, when these buckle under the pressure of the waves and the tumult of the sea, when instability overtakes stability and chaos overtakes order and regularity. In the middle of this tumultuous time that the psalmist is describing, with mountains being overcome by the sea and the waters roaring and foaming and the mountains succumbing to this tumultuous time, he suddenly interrupts this fiercely dynamic scene with verse 4, with a peaceful river whose streams make glad the city of God. That in the middle of all the waves and the billows, the mountains giving way and quaking under the pressure of the disturbed waters and of the sea, there is a peaceful river that flows through, and its streams make glad the city of God. There is a peace that surpasses understanding that flows from God, even in the middle of the restlessness and the chaos. Then in verse 7, we find a refrain which is also repeated at the conclusion of the psalm in verse 11. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This sits well alongside that opening verse to say that not only is God our strength and our refuge, but he's also our fortress. What an amazing declaration of faith and of confidence in God. And this takes us nicely to the second part of that psalm. Karan will kindly give us a reading of that second part of that psalm. Over to you, Karan.
Good morning. I hope this finds you all well. My reading is from Psalms 46, verse 8 to 11. Come and see what the Lord has done. The desolation he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Please take care of yourself and hope to see you all soon.
Amen. Thank you so much, Karan, for the reading. And yes, hoping to see you soon, hoping to see everyone soon as we safely can. Thank you so much for that reading. Now, progressing on that theme of that calm and calming river in verse 4, whose streams bring gladness to the city of God. The psalm then speaks about God making peace on earth. Poetic language is used there where reference is made in verse 9 to God making wars to end by breaking the bow and shattering the spear and burning the shields or the chariots. This is talking about the breaking those instruments and implements of war so that peace will prevail. This carries the same thrust as the prophet in Isaiah, prophesying in Isaiah chapter 2, where he talks about the people beating the swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, turning implements of war and conflict into instruments of peace. This psalm recognizes that the peace that God gives is not only limited to the city of God, but extends further out to the ends of the earth, he says. And verse 10 gives us that familiar line, be still and know that I am God. As though God is saying, I will be known in the stillness and in the peace that I give. The stillness that I give and the peace that I give will make me known to the ends of the earth. It reminds us of Jesus commanding those waves and that storm from the boat in Matthew chapter 4. The boat they were in was battered by the storm, so much so that the boat was nearly overcome and everyone was fearful. They woke Jesus up and Jesus commanded the wind and the waves to be still, and the wind died down and the sea became completely calm. Then the psalm concludes with that refrain that we saw earlier in verse 7, an assertion of the Almighty God is with us. He says that the Almighty God is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. How I pray that in whatever the storms and whatever the seas we face, we will experience that river of the peace from God. We'll experience that peace that surpasses understanding. And that whatever the sea billows roll and waves battering our boat, the stillness and the peace of God will be known.
For the Lord Almighty is with us. Amen. And for our closing song, Sue will lead us in Jesus, What a Beautiful Name. Let's sing together and worship God in that song. Over to you, Sue. He is our peace, He is our strength, and He is our fortress. Jesus, what a beautiful name. Thank you, Sue, for leading us in that song. And as we bring this service to a close, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord smile upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show His favor to you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. This is the end of our service today. Do keep safe, keep in touch, and keep the faith. God bless you. God bless you.